It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden age. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levenier. In this hour, crime stories. Later on, we hear a broadcast of The Man from Homicide. Right now, movie, television, and radio actor Lloyd Bridges stars in suspense in the story Rubbed Down and Out from July 6th, 1958 on CBS.
Suspense. And the producer of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, the master of mystery and adventure, William N. Robeson.
A person with murder on his mind and a reasonable amount of do-it-yourself resourcefulness should never lack for the means of mayhem. There are always knives in the kitchen, blunt instruments in the workshop, and of course the family car in the garage. Although it has never been the avowed intention of suspense to teach the fundamentals of homicide, we are not above a delicious chill of discovery when we come upon a new and unique murder weapon. And we feel an obsessive compulsion to share it with our listeners. Around such a modus operandi, our story revolves. Listen then as Lloyd Bridges stars in Rubbed Down and Out.
And now, Rubbed Down and Out, starring Lloyd Bridges. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
You'd think that Southern California would be the last place where a health club would pay off. With all that fresh air, sunshine, Pacific Ocean they advertise. Well, there's always guys who want to put on muscles and dames who want to take off pounds. So my little enterprise on the Sunset Strip was paying off real good. Zach's Sunset Health Studio, I called it. Of course, you get all kinds of trade on the Strip. Legitimate and the other kind. Big Willie Spang was one of the other kind. A lard tub, but loaded. Big Willie was known around town as a promoter, but nobody seemed to know what he promoted. He used to come in every Friday night around 7 for a sweat in the steam room and a rub down just before he left for the fights. That's how I found out at least one thing that Big Willie had promoted. A beautiful wife.
Oh, pardon me.
Yeah? Well, what can I do for you?
Is Mr. Spang through yet?
I think he is. He ought to be out any minute now, Miss...
Mrs. Spang.
Oh. Well, Mrs. Spang. My name is Zach Weston. It's nice meeting you.
Well, thank you.
Oh,
there he is now.
Ah, Joycey. There you are. Hey, Zach, this is my wife, Joycey.
Yeah, we just met.
This is Zach's partner, Joycey. This is Frankie Schatz.
Well, hello. Howdy, Mrs. Spang. Glad to know you.
Hey, Zach, I gave Frankie some tips, boy. You bet him, I say. You make a few bucks, huh? Make yourselves a million.
We appreciate it, Big Willie.
Yeah, you ought to. It's good advice. Well, let's go, Joycey. I don't want to be late. Good card tonight. Got a kid in the second bout. Gonna win it. You bet on him, boys. You bet like I tell you and you'll make a buck, huh? Come on, Joycey. See you guys.
Yeah, good night. Good night, folks.
Am I seeing things?
Oh, you got 20/20 vision, kid. That was for real.
Ooh, Papa, buy me something like that.
Class, Frankie. Class.
What does it take? I'm 5'10 with an electric personality.
And a thin wallet.
Yeah. Look, Zach, let's get rich, huh? Let's make a buck like Big Willie says. Let's make a million and get something like that, one for each of us, just like Big Willie.
I didn't tell Frankie, but I didn't think that it would take a million. It wasn't what she said. She hadn't said anything, really. It was just the way she looked at me. The kind of a look that tells you this is a beginning. The kind of a look that tells you the phone will be ringing soon. Tomorrow, next day, as soon as possible. Hello?
Is this Zach?
Uh-huh.
This is Mrs. Spang, Zach.
Yeah, I know Mrs. Spang.
Big Willie talks about you all the time. You've done wonders for him.
Well, I'm glad he thinks so.
Zach, how about doing something for my muscles?
Well, I'd say your muscles are fine, just the way they are, Mrs. Spang.
Well, you do advertise for men and women, don't you?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, then, can I make an appointment?
Well, when would it be convenient for you, Mrs. Spang?
Wednesday afternoon, about 3.
All right, that'll be fine, Mrs. Spang.
Oh, Zach, why not forget the missus? I feel I've known you a long time. Through my husband.
Wednesday afternoon at 3 for your workout, Mrs. Spang. Wednesday, she showed up at 3. Frankie had taken the afternoon off, and the place was empty except for Benny, the punch-drunk fighter who helped out around the joint.
Hey, Benny. Benny?
Yeah, Zach, yeah? Hey, you see that, Zach? Huh? I'm getting good, huh? Hey, maybe one of these days, huh, Zach?
Yeah, Benny, one of these days you'll be back in the ring.
Hey, what do you want, Zach, huh?
The gym, huh? I want to use the gym. You go back and rinse out the steam room. Go ahead, Benny, take five.
Oh, sure, Zach. Hey, you bet. Yeah, I'll take five. Rinse it out, you bet. Yeah.
Well, Zach, you all ready for me?
Yeah, all set.
How do we begin?
Well, I think we'll start off your first day kind of light. Mm-hmm. It's not good to exert yourself too much the first day. Let's try this horse first, huh? Can you get up on it?
Oh, sure, with a little help.
All right, here. Use my hands for a step.
Okay. Oh, I'm falling.
The kiss wasn't soft. It was hard and demanding. It was a kiss that yelled hunger. She held on to me like she was fighting for her life. Finally, I broke away from her, and she looked up at me as if she were really surprised.
Is that a regular part of the course?
That's a part of it you bought, isn't it?
What else can you teach me?
Mrs. Spang, I've suddenly noticed that your muscles are in good condition. They're fine. We can't do a thing for you.
All right. Send me a bill.
No, you're not satisfied. My clients never pay when they're not satisfied. Thursday went by, then Friday. Finally, Saturday afternoon, she called. Big Willie was out of town for a few days, she said. At 7, she picked me up at the joint in her red convertible, and a little after 8, we were eating lobster in a quiet place on the beach near Malibu.
What is it, Zach?
What's what?
What is it about you? What is it with the way you look at me and the way I look at you?
It's a fire, Joyce. A fire that never should have been started.
Well, how do we put it out?
I don't think we do.
Oh, say nice things to me, Zach.
You're another man's wife.
He's not a man, he's a... Oh, I hate him, Zach. You know what's possible for a woman to hate a man she's married to?
You made a promise, remember?
People who are desperate make all kinds of promises. Oh, I've honored him and I've obeyed him. But I broke my promise to love him. Zach. Tell me what I want to hear, please.
You want me to say I love you? I love you. Wrong? Of course it was wrong. But a thing like this doesn't end in just one night. There were other nights when Willie had to leave town because of the boys from back east. We found ourselves taking long drives along the coast. Then when the heat was off and he came back, we couldn't see each other. I was like a caged animal waiting. I couldn't call her when he was in town. She had to call me. Hello?
Oh, Zach. Listen, Zach, I've got to talk to you.
What's the matter?
Well, I can't tell you over the phone. I think he knows, Zach. I think he knows about us, and I've got to talk to you.
All right, where?
Well, I'll pick you up in front of the signboard at Sunset and Doheny. 8 o'clock.
Okay.
I'll drive the sedan.
All right, I'll be there. 8 o'clock came fast. I planted myself in front of the signboard and waited. A little after 8, the big sedan pulled up next to the curb. I walked over.
Hey, Weston.
What is this?
Get in the car before I blow your head off.
Nobody said anything. This big moose in the back held a gun on me, and the little guy in the front seat drove out Sunset, then up Beverly Drive and on into the hills near Franklin Reservoir, where there aren't any houses and there aren't any lights. And no traffic.
All right, get out. Go on, get out.
Now, will you tell me what this is all about?
Some advice, Mr. Weston. We've been asked by a friend to pass on some friendly advice.
What friend?
Don't you know, Mr. Weston? A friend who thinks you're a homewrecker.
Oh, homewrecker? Mm-hmm.
Oh, you have very bad manners, Mr. Weston. But you know, it's impolite to interrupt while I'm giving you such important advice, Mr. Weston.
Oh, now, wait. Just...
My friend Henry here, he hates home wreckers too, don't you, Henry?
Yeah, I sure do.
What's the matter, Mr. Muscle Man? Can't you take it?
Double-cross me. She double-crossed.
Oh, that's a very bad thing to say about my friend's wife.
Oh!
Very bad.
Oh, please.
You oughtn't to go around wrecking homes, Mr. Weston. You can get into a lot of trouble.
No.
All right, hold it, Henry.
Oh, I hate home wreckers, Hobo.
Well, sure you
just
do.
Just once more.
All right, Henry. That's enough, I said. I think Mr. Weston gets the point.
You can get over cuts and bruises and internal injuries. But can you get over a double-crossing dame? Well, you can bet that I was going to try. The next night was Friday, and Big Willie came in on the dot of 7. He got his steam and his rub down and left, acting just the same as he always had. I'd have thought that I'd dreamt it all up, except for my split lip and the mouse under my eye. Then the phone rang, and I was sure that it had happened. Hello?
Zach? Oh, Zach, baby, what did they do to you?
Oh, what do you care?
Oh, Zach, honey, baby, darling, listen to me. He made me do it.
Yeah?
You think it was me, don't you?
Oh, what am I supposed to think?
No, it was him, Zach. He made me call you. There was nothing I could do. He was acting so crazy.
Well, I can't say that I blame him. This whole thing was wrong from the beginning. Never should have happened.
Oh, Zach, darling, that isn't true. We've done nothing wrong.
We haven't.
Oh, no, no, darling, because I love you. Did you hear me, Zach?
Yeah. Yeah, I heard you.
I've got to see you, darling. I've got to see you tonight.
Now, what happens tonight? If I get the rest of my teeth kicked in?
Oh, Zach, darling, you've got to believe me. I just can't go on living with him any longer.
All right, Joyce. Pick me up at sunset in La Cienega. It was no use. I couldn't get away from her. Just the sound of her voice, and I was a goner. I told her that. Parked on the Palisades, looking out over the moonlit ocean.
I just can't stand him, Zach. I can't stand him a minute longer.
He was in tonight, same as usual.
Sure. He'll keep coming back.
Why? He hates my guts.
He gets his kicked that way. He's making fun of you, Zach. He scared you, and he wants to keep on scaring you.
Well, I don't scare easy.
He hates you. Do you hate him?
You know I do.
Enough to kill him?
What?
For me? For us?
Yeah.
When? When will you kill him?
Oh, Joyce. How could I do a thing like that?
Make it look like an accident.
Like an accident?
Uh-huh.
Oh, baby, I don't know. Now, let me think about it. Huh? Maybe I can figure out something.
Oh, Zach. Oh, baby, what would have happened to me if I hadn't found you?
In a moment, we continue with the third act of Suspense.
Memo on medals. Information about our military awards and decorations. Awarding of the Purple Heart was discontinued after the Revolutionary War until it was revived in 1932 as a memorial to our first president on the occasion of the 200th anniversary of his birth. As recognition for special acts of public service, medals are among the most coveted of all awards.
And now, starring Lloyd Bridges, Act 3 of Rub Down and Out.
What are you going to do? Well, abroad like that, you do anything. Only murder is something that you don't commit every day of the week. It takes a little thought, a little planning. And I was an amateur. And one night, I got the answer in a hot flash. I was sitting all alone in the steam room after hours trying to figure out a way to kill Big Willie when I suddenly realized that it was hot, too hot. The steam burned my nostrils, and I was so weak that I hardly made the door. Benny.
Yeah?
Hey, Benny.
Yeah?
Hey, were you monkeying with that steam valve?
Oh, yeah. I turned on full to rinse the room down.
Oh, boy, you nearly cooked me. Cooked me. Yeah. Sure. There was only one door to the steam room. It was big, heavy. And it locked from the outside. And tomorrow was Friday. Big Willie's night for a steam bath. The next morning, Joyce called. I knew she would. She called every day now with the same question.
You got an idea yet?
Yes, I have, honey. At last.
What is it?
I'll tell you when I see you after the inquest.
Now, you're sure it'll work.
It can't miss.
Are you scared?
Not with you in my corner, baby.
Well, that's where I'm going to be, honey, from now on.
Scared? Yeah, sure I was scared. But I wasn't going to let on. There are a lot of things that could louse it up. But as the day dragged on, everything worked out my way. Frankie had a dinner date, so he was leaving early. Benny wanted to go to the fights. Finally, I had only one last worry. Maybe Big Willie wouldn't show up at all. But he did, right on the dot of 7. I told him that Benny would take care of him. He grunted at me and showed me his cigar-stained teeth. 20 minutes passed, then I heard Benny in the locker room. Big Willie was taking a steam bath. Benny?
Yeah?
I'll go take care of Big Willie. You take off, kid, huh? Go to the fights?
Yeah? Hey, thanks, Doc. Thanks.
Then I walked across the gym and stepped up into the steam room. Big Willie was sitting on the tile ramp, a big towel wrapped around his middle. How you doing, Willie? Oh, we're not speaking, huh?
I got nothing to say to you.
Well, I got plenty to say to you. Now, sit down.
Hey, who do you think you're pushing around?
Shut up and listen.
Maybe you got a short memory. Maybe you forgot what happened to you the other night.
I remember.
Are you sucking around for some more of the same?
You know, Big Willie, you don't look so hot, all wrapped up in a wet towel. No wonder she hates your guts.
I'm getting out of here. I don't have to listen
you
to this.
You ain't going anywhere, Big Willie, ever again. This is your last stop.
Benny! Benny!
It won't do any good, Willie. There's nobody out there. Just you and me. You got nobody to back you up now. And I don't need anybody. How you like that, Willie, huh?
Why, you...
Willie! Out of condition, fat man.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Now, wait a minute, Zach. Let me tell you something.
Yeah, well, make it fast.
You ain't the first.
What do you mean?
With her. And you won't be the last, either.
With that, you get another one.
No, listen. Listen, I tell you, she ain't worth it. But if you want her, you can have her.
Yeah, well, that's really generous of you, Willie.
But you won't keep her long.
Well, you are a rat, aren't you? A dirty, miserable rat.
No. No, please, no more. No more.
You can take your steam bath now, Willie. A nice long one. In private. Hey, what the... Hello?
Zach? Zach, don't do it.
Huh? What?
Don't do it, Zach.
It's done. He's in the steam room now. Maybe you can hear him screaming.
Oh, let him out, Zach. The police.
Police?
Yes, they were here looking for him.
Well, why?
Well, I don't know, but they wanted to know where he was, and I told them.
You told them?
Well, I had to. Zach, I didn't think you'd do it so soon. I didn't want you to get in trouble. Oh, Zach, don't do it.
I'll talk to you later, baby. I'll talk to you later. Yeah. Yeah, Willie. Yeah, just a minute, Willie, boy. Oh, no. Stuck. The valve's stuck. Just a minute, Willie. Just a minute. I'll open the door, Willie. It's locked. It's locked. The lock sprung when I closed it. Now, the key. So where's the key? Wait a minute, Big Willie. Now, wait. The key must be here somewhere. Oh, no, the key, the key. I've got to find that key.
Is this the key you're looking for, Weston?
What?
Police Lieutenant Arnold. Here, Sergeant. Unlock the door.
Willie was still alive when they got him out of the steam room. So they put him away for a long, long time. On, of all things, income tax evasion. After the judge heard my story, I ended up with 1 to 2 years for assault with a deadly weapon. Sentence suspended. I bet it's the first time that a steam room was ever called a deadly weapon. Joyce? Well, Big Willie was right about her. I hear she's in Chicago now with one of the boys from back east. I guess they had more than one reason for wanting to get rid of Big Willie. But when I stop to think of it, in a way, I can't blame them.
Suspense, in which Lloyd Bridges starred in William N. Robeson's production of Rub Down and Out by Richard George Pedicini. Supporting Lloyd Bridges in Rub Down and Out were Tracy Roberts, William Conrad, Eddie Marr, and Jack Crucian. Listen.
Listen again next week when we return with another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Suspense, on Tuned to Yesterday from July 6, 1958, first heard on CBS that was an Armed Forces Radio Service rebroadcast. In the same year of that broadcast, Lloyd Bridges was seen on The Frank Sinatra Show and in the Oscar-nominated motion picture The Goddess alongside Kim Stanley and an 8-year-old Patty Duke. It's an hour of crime on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now one of three or so surviving broadcasts of The Man from Homicide, starring Dan Duryea, Bill Boucher, Gene Bates, and more from July 9, 1951 on ABC.
The Man from Homicide. According to Webster's Dictionary, homicide is the killing of one human being by another. According to Lieutenant Lou Dana,
it's the beginning of a dirty, dangerous job that doesn't end until the killer is found. I don't like killers.
Every week at this time, the American Broadcasting Company brings you transcribed the star of stage and screen, Dan Duryea, as Lieutenant Lou Dana, the man from Homicide.
You can get used to the dead. It takes time, but you can do it. You can get used to the men who've given up their lives suddenly to a knife, a piece of lead pipe, or a gun, or a broken bottle. In time, you can get used to all of that. But when the dead are very young, when you look down the beam of a police flashlight to see the death pallor spreading over cheeks that still wear a youthful fuzz, no. You never get used to that. They find him like this, Dave?
Yeah, just like this, Lieutenant. Bum came up the alley looking for a place to flop, I guess. Saw him there. Must have been right after the kid got it. Excuse me a minute, Lieutenant.
Right after the kid got it. Yes. The blood hadn't clotted yet. The large pool it made looked purple under my light. They bleed out fast when the throat is slashed.
Picture boys are here, Lieutenant.
In a minute, Dave.
Yeah.
Notice this arm?
No.
Right here. Look.
Yeah.
What would you give him? 17?
17, 18.
The peddlers start him young these days. Makes for more business later on.
17, 18.
Well, he got the man off his back. The hard way.
Anything on him?
Oh, see. I don't think so. No. Here's his wallet, though. Nobody cut his throat just for money.
Dough in it?
Couple of bucks. No Social Security. Here's his draft card. Hold the light a minute.
Oh, sure, Lieutenant.
Donald M. Shellbarger, 1264 Martin. Well, guess I better go talk to his family.
Yeah, nice job. Lieutenant?
Yeah?
How did he stand in the draft?
I didn't look. Yeah. 4F. ...1264 Martin was a tenement. No worse, no better than other tenements. It was after 1 a.m. when I got there. But you can usually find somebody up on a hot summer night. I found out that Don Shellbarger lived on the 3rd floor, rear. No answer at the door, so I settled down to wait. I must have been tired.
Hey!
Hmm?
Get the load somewhere else to sleep it off, will you, Jack?
Oh. You live here?
If you can call it living.
Let's go inside.
Hey, now, wait a minute.
Police.
Oh, copper. What is it now?
We better go inside.
All right. We'll go inside.
Where were you tonight, Miss Shellbarger?
Shellbarger? Please, I lost that years ago. Gloria Gay. You got a badge?
Yeah, here. Lieutenant Dana.
All right. I was working. I'm a dancer.
What, kind of a dancer?
Just the kind you think I am.
And where were you dancing tonight?
What's the charge?
Let it go for now. Let me see your arm, Gloria.
Hey, you got a thing for arms.
Hmm. Nice, smooth skin.
You could have just asked me.
I could have. Who's Donald Shellbarger, Gloria?
Miss Gay, and he's my brother. What's he done now?
Live here with you?
Off and on, yeah.
Mother and father dead?
I don't know. My father took a powder when Don was 4. My mother pulled out about 3 years later. I tried to take care of him since.
You did a great job.
City paying you a salary to mind my business?
How long has your brother been taking dope, Miss Gay?
That's a lie.
Sure. You don't know how long, or you don't want to say.
I didn't know. He hasn't been home much lately, but I didn't know.
All right. Miss Gay, your brother was murdered tonight.
No. You might have told me right off. You might have told me.
I'm sorry. I'm homicide detail, Miss Gay. My first responsibility is to catch murderers. Anything else has to come second.
18. 18 he was.
Know any reason for anyone killing him?
No. I guess even I didn't know him too well. I tried to raise him, but you know. No, you don't.
Anybody else live in this apartment, Miss Gay?
My husband, off and on.
Care to explain that?
There hasn't been anything between us for a long time, but I let him stay because he can't find another place. He's a... You wouldn't understand that either.
Got any idea where he is now?
There's a bar over on Elm. It's just called Ed's. Frank's kind of handyman there.
Frank? Okay.
Anything else?
That's, Don's picture?
Yeah.
Nothing else. I'll be in touch.
Sure.
And I'm sorry.
Just leave me, will you? Just leave me.
I left her. Standing alone in the tenement apartment with its water-stained ceiling and peeling walls. This was the home from which Donald M. Shellbarger, age 18, had tried to escape. Well, he finally made it. What catches most killers? Not big thinking. Routine. On my way to Ed's place, I stopped in headquarters to see how the routine was sifting out.
Got something on the shell barker boy, Lieutenant.
Yeah?
Been checking with Henderson and narcotics. They had a warrant out for the kid as a peddler. Been watching him to try to pin down his source.
Dave, where was Henderson tonight?
He didn't say, Lou.
Yeah. Well, there's the motive for us anyway. His supplier found out the kid was going to be picked up. He didn't want to be stooled on.
Oh, he sure didn't.
What's the record on the kid?
Not much. Arrest shoplifting 8 months ago, probation. Suspicion car theft 2 months later, insufficient evidence. And since then, nothing.
Not hard to figure, is it? Took a lot of loot to buy his, medicine. Around $20 a day. The kid made it by stealing for a while. And then somebody showed him how he could get his for free. He got it, all right.
Yeah. You notified his family? How'd they take it?
He's got a sister. Well, I got a call to make at a bar. Ed's on Elm. You know it?
No. Anything?
A brother-in-law of the kid's. From what I hear, he's nothing. ...2:30 when I hit Ed's place. A neighborhood bar, small and dirty. 2:30 a.m. was after closing. But in bars like Ed's, it makes little difference. They just serve it under the counter in coffee cups. In answer to my question, the bartender nodded me over to Frank. Frank. Shabby clothes, bloodshot eyes, and racing form. Frank?
Yeah, sit down.
Anything good running tomorrow?
Oh, tomorrow might be the day. Just might be the day. You know, I got a theory. You know, every day just $1 on a 3-horse barley. Long shots, you see. See, someday I got a hit. Big. Don't I? Huh? I mean, don't I?
Where were you tonight, Frank?
Where? Law?
Yeah.
Oh, right here, Captain. Right here all evening. Or in the back room, you know. Ask Mr. McPherson. He runs this place, see, and he'll tell you. He'll say, Frank was here. That's where Frank was. Frank was here.
McPherson's the owner?
Yeah, huh?
You married Frank?
Nothing's happened to Gloria.
No. Roll up your sleeve, Frank. Left sleeve.
Oh, sure. Sure, Captain, sure. There.
You only take yours in a glass, huh, Frank?
Beer. It's all I can afford, see? But look it now. It stands to reason. I'm going to hit it someday, now, don't it? Law of averages? Just 3 horses. That's not much to ask for, is it? And look it. Look at what I got picked out for tomorrow. See, right here. Now, look at
Frank.
It. What?
The kid, Don. Did you ever look at his arm?
Don? Oh, I know. No.
Come on. You knew.
Well, I got the word here and there, but I didn't say anything to Gloria, because he'll come around. Don'll snap out of it while he's...
Did you know how he got his money?
No, I didn't, Captain. Now, look, I swear I didn't.
Talk, Frank.
No, please, look, I didn't. I'd tell you if I knew. Honest, I would. Look at Captain, he's almost like my own son. Well, sure, he's had a little trouble, sure, but he'll snap right out of it any day now. He'll come
Frank,
right...
The kid got it tonight.
Oh. Bad?
As bad as it can get.
Oh.
We found him in an alley with his throat cut.
Oh. I need a drink. I need a drink.
Frank stumbled his way over to the bar, and I let him go. In the back of the room was a swinging door. I went through it. Took a few steps down a narrow hallway that reeked of stale beer and turned the knob on a door lettered office. Empty. Big surprise. But the odor of cigar smoke told me it hadn't been empty long. And in one wall was a peephole surveying the bar. I looked out. Frank was back at his table, hunched over his racing form. But he wasn't picking winners. He was crying. I took myself out of Ed's place. And Frank didn't look up as I got McPherson's address from the bartender. After persuasion. It was a good address. And his name wasn't Ed. It was Andy. He interested me. Just outside of the saloon, I got a break. Hey! Hey, you!
Hey!
My friend, Needle Nose. You're not happy to see me?
Take your hands off me, Dana. You got very heavy hands. I told you that before. Take them off.
You clean?
Yeah, sure, I'm clean, Dana. You got nothing on me. You know it.
Shut up. What were you doing in this neighborhood, Nose? Just passing by?
Matter of fact, I was just passing by. Not that it's any of your business, Dana, what I do or where I...
I don't like you. I don't like your face. I don't like that Needle Nose of yours.
Listen, Dana, you got no right every time you see me to start fight.
Maybe if I keep it up long enough, you'll get out of town.
I got friends on newspapers, Dana. They'd be glad to hear how
you... Friends? You haven't even got acquaintances. What were you doing around here?
Now, listen, Dana. Take your hands off me. I know my rights.
Talk. You're one of the miserable rats who make wrecks of these kids. Where do you get your stuff, Nose?
I got rights. I... All right. All right, beat me up. Hit me. You're a big man. Sure, hit me. See what good it does you. Go on.
Okay. There are other ways, Needle Nose. Maybe you'll wish you had the slaps in the face.
What ways? I got friends, Dana. Maybe you ain't so big like you thought. Maybe you... Hey. What's the $10 for?
A loan. Maybe I'm sorry I hit you.
$10? Well, thanks. But I don't get it, Dana.
Nose. Don't you get the feeling that maybe somebody's watching us? I do.
Well, what's that got to do?
How's it gonna look?
Huh?
I slap you around. We talk. I give you money. You took it. Gonna look like you stooled, isn't it?
But I didn't. You know I didn't.
I know, sure. But how does it look?
Dana, you...
You're shaking, Nose. Know what you better do? You better start running. Fast.
But I... Yeah.
I stepped back into the shadows of a warehouse doorway to let Needle Nose get a good start and see who might start trailing him. It wasn't a smart move. I stepped into the wrong shadow. Something was dripping. Water. Blood. My blood. I didn't care. I wasn't curious at all. I had the idea something had happened to my head, but I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel anything up there at all. My eyes opened, and I was lying in an alley with a rusted-out drain pipe leaking alongside of me. But it just seemed exactly the right place to be. I wasn't gonna move. 4 o'clock. I wasn't interested. 4 o'clock. Headquarters wasn't far. And even though walking was pushing one leg in front of the other, it was good for me to walk. I could almost think by the time I hit the station.
Lou, what happened to you?
Games, Dave. Funny games.
Oh, here, son, sit down.
No time, Dave, no time. Get out on all points on Needle Nose Rackley. I want him found, and it's got to be quick. Get it on the air, Dave. And Dave...
You want him found, Lieutenant? It won't be hard.
You got him?
Yeah. On a slab in the morgue.
.420. And I was just beginning to care about time again. Outside of Dave, I was the only other one in the room who did care.
Think they put him in lower, too. He's not pretty, Lieutenant.
Nah, he wasn't pretty alive. Roll him out, Dave.
Right. There he is.
funny thing, Lieutenant. He had to die before we found out his real name was Henry.
Henry Needlenose Rackley. For the second time in one night, I was looking down at a man with his throat cut. This time, I could feel responsible. If it wasn't for me, Needlenose could have been still alive. Alive and ruining the lives of 18-year-old kids. I looked down. I didn't feel sorry at all. Put him back, Dave. Almost 5 in the morning, I got around to the address I'd gotten from the barkeep at Ed's place. Andy McPherson. He was beginning to interest me more and more. Somehow, I doubted that McPherson was a sound sleeper. One of my keys fit the lock. It usually does. I looked in all the rooms. Found nothing. So I sat down. My head was coming around to the point where it was hurting pretty good. And the chair was too modern to be comfortable. McPherson had more money than taste. Then a key turned in the lock. Come in.
What?
A social call, Miss Gay.
I couldn't sleep. I had to talk to someone.
I got ears.
You're a cop.
Yeah. And my apartment doesn't look like this at all. It's a little hole in the wall with only 2 keys. I've got both of them.
Well, an early morning newscast.
Why did you come here, Miss Gay? My job is finding your brother's killer. You're either on one side or the other.
You don't think much of me.
Oh, we won't argue it. What's McPherson to you?
I've been going with him.
How's he get his money?
I never asked him. It was the same color as all other money.
That's pretty doubtful. Look, Miss Gay, I want you to go to the Windsor Hotel on Elm. Register there in your own name right now. I want to use you as bait. Will you do it?
It's for Don?
Yes.
All right.
Miss Gay, it's only fair to tell you that I tried this trick a few hours ago and got a man killed.
Oh?
Well?
You couldn't be that lucky twice.
A few milk wagon drivers and streetcar jockeys were on their way to work. And a few late drunks were on their way home. For the second time in one night, I headed for Ed's place, and it was still open. They must have thrown away the keys to that place the day they opened it. A track sweeper was having a belt at the bar before starting work. And there in the corner was Frank. Clothes a little shabbier, eyes a little more bloodshot. And racing form a little more dog-eared. Frank.
Oh, the law.
Got those 3 horses picked out yet?
I don't know. No, for the first time in my life, I got the feeling that maybe today isn't the day. I don't know.
Frank. About Gloria.
What about Gloria?
She took a hotel room, Frank.
She...
I think she found out something about Don's killer and she's scared. Want to know where she is?
Well, sure, I want to. Maybe you better not tell me.
The Windsor Hotel.
No, maybe you... Windsor Hotel.
Be seeing you, Frank. I just wanted to let you know.
Yeah, thanks very much, huh? Thanks very much.
I got out of Ed's place all right. My head was booming like a circus parade, but I was smart enough to stay out of the shadows. At the Windsor, the night clerk was asleep in his chair, the register in front of him. Gloria Gay was in 202, second floor. Anybody could have stolen the whole hotel, but who'd want it? Up the worn flight of stairs with the walls painted an institution brown, I knocked on 202.
Who is it?
Lou Dana.
Oh, I never thought I'd be glad to see you come in.
Jumpy?
Huh.
Sit down. I don't think we'll have long to wait.
Who did you tell?
Frank.
You don't think Frank...
I don't think Frank can keep a secret very long.
Did you have to do it that way?
No. But that's the best way I could think of.
Do you chew gum all the time?
Yeah. Getting on your nerves?
You got on my nerves the first minute I saw you. I've heard about you, Mr. Dana. You take chances. You don't wait for a killer to come out. You go in after him. What are you trying to prove all the time?
I don't like killers.
You married, Mr. Dana?
No.
No, you wouldn't be. You put on a little tin badge. You're the type that resigns from the human race. Do you wear it when you go to bed, Dana? What is it you don't like, Dana? Yourself?
Shut up. I heard something. Get in the bathroom, quick, and stay there. If anything happens to me, go out the window. Now, beat it. Hi.
Oh, I guess I made a mistake.
I guess you did. Come all the way in, McPherson. Let me get a good look at you.
Who are you?
You know who I am. Yeah. Big guy, aren't you? What'd you bring with you, knife or gun? Come on in and close the door.
Sure, I'll close it.
Thanks. Been a busy evening for you, McPherson.
Take it easy, Dana.
Now he tells me. A little different this time. I'm not Needlenose, and I'm not an 18-year-old kid either. A little different.
All right, where is she?
You want to know? Here I am. Take a good look. I killed your brother, but we can still be friends, can't we?
I told you to stay out of this.
You'd have been smarter to listen to the copper, Gloria. And I brought along a gun this time, Dana.
I hope you got good teeth. You're gonna have to eat it. Get back where you were, Gloria.
All right, hold it, hold it. I'm just as good with a gun as a knife, Dana. Now that freeze, copper. I said...
Frank, watch out, Frank!
Hold on to it, McPherson. Hold on to it and get your arm broke. Oh, you didn't hold on to it. Take care of Frank, Gloria.
He's a bad Frank. We get a doctor for you. You'll be all right.
I didn't want to tell him, Gloria, but he made me. He made me.
It's all right, Frank. It's all right.
He made me to... You, Gloria?
Yeah, Frank.
Just this once? I didn't do so bad. Did I?
Oh, you did great, Frankie. You did great. Frank. Frank.
3 in 1 evening, McPherson. You're a dandy fellow.
All right, take me in. But I'm not talking, Dana.
Not talking?
I got a lawyer.
A lawyer? McPherson, it cost the state about $40,000 to electrocute you. And I'm just itching to save him that dough. Come on. You got a knife. Make a move for it. Come on.
Ollie, let me alone, Dana. Let me alone.
Let him alone. Killed 3 people, and now he wants to be let alone. Come on, McPherson. You're a big fellow. One move.
No,
just that one eyelash. Come on.
Let me alone.
Take him in, Dana. He's all through.
Yeah. I guess he is. I guess he is.
I'll stay here with Frank.
6 o'clock. Frank was right. Today wasn't his day. What does a cop think about after a case? Right now, I was thinking about how a girl named Gloria might have looked before she'd been pushed around so hard and so long by the years since her father and mother walked out on her. Then I tried to think what Lou Dana was like as a kid so long ago. I couldn't remember. But I know what he is now. A cop who doesn't like killers.
You have just heard another in a series starring Dan Duryea as the man from Homicide, with Larry Dobkin as Dave. Mr. Duryea can be seen starring in Al Jennings of Oklahoma. In tonight's cast, you heard Gene Bates as Gloria, Bill Boucher as McPherson, and Joe Forte as Needle Nose. Music was by Basil Adlam. The Man from Homicide is transcribed and written by Lou Vitties, directed by Dwight Houser. Be with us again next week, same time, over most of these same ABC stations to hear Dan Duryea as the Man from Homicide. Lou Cook speaking. This program came to you from Hollywood. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
The Man from Homicide, on Tuned to Yesterday from July 9th, 1951 on ABC. That brings to a close this hour of crime on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeDonier. Thanks for tuning in.